I'm going to read several passages of Scripture to you this morning. You can follow along if you like. I'm going to be in 2 Peter 3:18 is our text. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And then I want to read a couple of passages of Scripture from Ephesians. And we'll go from there. Our text is 2 Peter 3:18, but grow. Everybody say grow. In grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. Speaking to those of us who are Christians, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Ephesians 2:21 says, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into an holy temple in the Lord. Verse 22 at Ephesians 2 says, in whom you also are built together. And I want you to grasp this, so I'm going to mention it probably a couple of times before we're through. In whom you also are built together. How many Christians do we have here today? We're all built together. And there's a purpose for it. And the purpose is an habitation of God through the Spirit. You've heard me saying, God is our best friend. I think the last time we spoke here, we spoke about God being our best friend. We can talk to Him anytime at any place and about any subject. Because He knows our hearts. And He loves us. And so He knows what's bothering us or what we're enjoying or our failures or our sins or our shortcomings or if we beat our husbands or our wives or kicked our kids or whatever we did, good or bad, He knows about it because your body is the habitation of the Holy Ghost. And the love of God, just thought I would share this with you, Romans 5:5 says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So when He tells us, as we're going to talk about here in a minute, to grow in the grace, it's the grace is His part, His love, His mercy, His goodness. So He's not only just asking us to love somebody, we have to do that. We have to even love our neighbors as ourselves, He says. Amen? And love one another. Some of us are easier to love than others. Right? But we're to grow in that. And our bodies are His habitation. God lives in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom, verse 15, Ephesians 4, verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. So if you're a part of the body of Christ, you're a part of that membership or that body or that part of the body that maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's the Bible tells us why we're supposed to love one another, whether we like it or not. I don't think there's any of us that have not sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there's none righteous, no, not one. Our righteousness is not of ourselves, but it's the righteousness of Christ that He gave for us when He shed His blood and died for in our place on the cross of Calvary and was risen again so that He might live in us and give us the assurance of His salvation. So the body is to increase itself through the edification of love itself, and love through the, and that's the love that God gives to us and is shed abroad in our hearts by Him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren and sisters, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. How many of you know your faith can grow? And it needs to. We walk by faith and not by sight. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. The Bible tells us that if we draw near to God, He'll draw near to us. So the first thing I want to talk to you about is grace. And that's God's love. And somebody said one time, and it stuck with me, I've never forgotten it, God loves you whether you like it or not. And also, He sent His Son to die for your sins whether you like it or not. Amen. But you need to receive that gift, and when we receive that gift, we're born again by His Spirit, and then the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by His Holy Spirit that's given unto us. But we're to grow in that grace. We're to allow ourselves to grow in the grace and in the love of God so that we can understand. And there's two aspects of that growth. We begin to understand more and more how much God loves us. How much, whenever we first came to Christ, I remember I first came to Christ. The first thing He did when He gives me a love for His Word, He wanted me, I just couldn't seem to get enough of the Bible. It became my food. I didn't have enough money. My wife and I, we were in the Air Force, and then I didn't make a whole lot of money. So, the first Bible I ever had, I didn't borrow it from a church. I didn't know you could do that. I thought that might be stealing. So I went down to a bookstore in Victoria and bought my first Bible. I had to put it on account and charge it because I didn't have enough money to pay for it. And I don't think it cost but about $15. So you can understand our situation in those days and times. So once we enter into that grace and we understand that God loves us, then we grow in that grace. And the way we grow in that grace is because as Christians, we're not perfect and we still fail and we still do things wrong. But when we ask Him, the Bible says we have not because we ask not, right? But we've learned that even though we don't maybe intentionally get out in sin or do wrong, sometimes maybe we do, but most of the time we don't. But any time that we can call upon the Lord and experience His grace, that's an opportunity for His grace to grow in us and for us to understand just exactly how much He loves us and why He sent His Son to die for us, so that we can be His children and He can be our Heavenly Father and we can have a relationship with Him. And that's what grace is all about. That's what God's grace is all about. And that's what He wants us to enjoy. And I hope that all of us that are Christians are enjoying that. If we're not, we need to draw near to God. Because He said if we draw near to Him, He'll draw near to us. And so that takes an action on our part. So we don't, and we may say, Lord, I don't know how to draw near to You. I don't know exactly what You're expecting from me. Maybe we don't. I haven't gotten into the Bible much. Hadn't had a heard a whole lot of preaching. That's generally the case when we become Christians. We first are born again by the Spirit of God. But I want to know how to let You know, as best I know how, I love You. And I love You because You love me and You forgave me. And I want to grow in Your love. I want to grow in Your grace. And then as I grow in His grace and I experience His forgiveness and His love, then I learn how to love in turn. And I know how to love because His love is shed abroad in my heart, or in our hearts as believers, that He's given to us so that we can love one another. Amen? And love doesn't just mean I love you. It means I care for you. I care for what happens to you. I care for what's going on in your life. I pray probably every day for the members of this church. I lift them before the throne of grace because I know that, see, I have to work. I've worked all my life. I haven't pastored a church in all my life and got paid. I've worked for Berry Contracting and Golston Engineering, Golston Construction Company, and all of these various companies. I've always worked and earned a living. And probably over those years gave more to the church than the church ever gave to me. I never was expecting anything. As a matter of fact, when God told me, I want you to leave your job, I was working with an engineering company, and I was a Title II inspector, which is probably the number one inspector out at the Naval Air Station. I'd been there for 2 years, and they just renewed my contract for another year with an engineering company. And I walked in there one day, and the guys told me, said, Lewis, or the boss called me in, manager, and said, Lewis, we're going to let you go. And this will be your last week. And I was shocked. So the end of the week came, I gathered up my stuff that I had probably in a little box about that big, put it in my car, and I was driving back from the Naval Air Station in Corpus Christi, and I'd just gone over the harbor, the hump and the bridge out there on the way back, and I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. How am I going to pay my bills? He told me, you don't be concerned about that. I said, do you want me to go? We had about 13 elders or deacons at that time that were in the church. And I said, well, do you want me to go to them and tell them that, because they're going to want to pay me something. And he said, this is the words I heard him speak to me in my mind, in my spirit. You can depend on them or you can depend on me. I said, Lord, I'm going to depend on you. So when I told them, we had a deacon's meeting and we had all of the guys back there, and they said, well, what do you want for salary? I said, I don't want anything. And they said, well, how are you going to live? And I said, I'm going to live on love offerings. Whatever anybody wants to give me. And they just looked shocked. And before long, the money that was coming in that was coming to me was more than what was coming into the church. So then they decided they really wanted to put me on a salary. And I'm kind of joking there, but it kind of went that way. But I've seen the time whenever Pat and I were sitting in our home and our electric bill or water bill, I can't remember, I think it was electric bill because it was pretty high. It was like $190 or $200, somewhere in that neighborhood. And it was due that day. And we didn't have the money to pay it. And this is how we learned to depend on the Lord. And so Pat said, well, what are we going to do? It's due today. And I said, I don't have any idea what we're going to do. But God said he'd provide for us. So we just trust him. A couple that had just started coming to our church, Tina and Albert Garza, lived out on the bay or out that direction. They just started coming to church. I think they'd been coming to our church only about two or three weeks. And so we were sitting there that morning trying to figure out how we were going to pay our bill. Tina and Albert Garza pulled up in front of our house and our fence. She came up to the gate. And she said, God told us, and they'd just only been coming to the church 3 or 4 weeks. God told us to give you this, and she handed me a check. And I looked at it, and it was maybe $2 or $3. It was almost the exact amount of the bill that was due right then. And so we learned, you can depend on God. It may come down to the last minute, or maybe even the last second, but we can depend on him. God wants us to trust him for everything. The Bible says if you have any kind of cares, whether it's a care about a relationship with a child or one of your children or a relationship with a neighbor or one of your family members or your husband or your wife or a neighbor or whatever, whoever it's with, the Bible says, cast all of your cares on him because he cares for you. And he will help you through that situation. And I've seen him turn such circumstances and situations around where people I thought hated one another actually got together and loved one another and became good friends. God can do anything if we'll trust him. And he wants us to trust him. And that's how we live, is we trust him. So we have to grow in that grace, and we grow in that grace by experiencing God's grace in our lives. Amen? So it's not just our grace, and you may not want to tell somebody this, but you say, I love you because of the grace of God. Because they might get to understand that that's the only reason he loves me is because God loves me. He may not like me, but he has to love me. Amen? You follow me? So we're to grow. And we grow in grace. We grow in that love. And that love is what we grow in, the love, so that we understand that God loves us so much, we have to grow in that love. We have to experience that love over and over again in our lives. We come to a place for some reason or some purpose or something goes on or happens in our life that lets us know, God really loves you. God really loves me. Amen? You had that kind of experience? You should be. Do you have a relationship with God? That brings us to the next one. Grow in grace and knowledge. In knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We not only have to experience grace, but we have to experience and grow in knowledge. When I first came to the Lord, I didn't really understand anything much about him at all. I didn't even really, before I was saved, I didn't even really want to have a relationship with him. I didn't even really know you could have a relationship with the Lord, to tell you the truth, much less know him. But when I became a Christian, and he gave me a word, he gave me a desire to read his word, I realized that there's two ways that we grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Number one is he wants us to read his word because his word is about God and Jesus. And that's how we get to know him. Because when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see what Jesus was. He was God. Jesus was God's Son, yes. But he was God manifested, or he was God revealed, or God made known to us in the flesh. In other words, like he told his disciples, when they said, well, when he said, I'm going back to my Father, well, one of them, I think it was Thomas, said, well, Lord, show us the Father and we'll be happy. We'll be satisfied. He said, have I been so long time with you and yet you don't know me, Thomas? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Amen? He was an exact representative of who God is. He was God manifested in the flesh. So we have to grow in the grace, in his love, but we also have to grow in his knowledge. And the way we grow in his knowledge is two ways, or maybe three. One of the ways that we grow in knowledge of him is that we begin to read his word. He begins to show us things out of his word about himself and his Father and the Holy Spirit. And not only that, but ourselves. And sometime others, so that we'll know how to minister, not criticize or put down, but how to help them, how to encourage them. That's what he wants to do in our lives, and that's how we acknowledge him. We grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, as one of the things that we do is we pray. Praying to a Christian is like breathing. It's like breathing. You have to breathe or you're going to die. Right? Nobody wants to be... I look at a little baby this morning. Precious. About that big. And I thought, who would want to be a baby laying in a nursery and in a little nursery, or laying in a little bed for the rest of their lives and they don't grow? Who would want to do that? That's not even normal, right? It's not normal for a Christian to remain a baby Christian. It's not normal. And that's the reason God gives us prayer, so we can talk to him. Not only, but I want to say this too, prayer is not just a one-sided thing. Prayer is not just we talk to God all the time. Prayer is that we learn how God is speaking to us, how he talks to us through his word, but also how he talks to us through our circumstances and our lives, so that we can learn and we can pray and we can breathe to him, and then we can see what he does, and we want to love him more and have him be in more control of our lives, and we want more of his blessings. Amen? Wow. What is it like to have the blessings of God? The one of the things it is to be one of his children. We belong to him. You're no longer your own. You're bought with a price. The price of the Lord Jesus Christ and his body and blood shed on the cross of Calvary. That purchased you. That purchased me from our sins and cleansed us and washed us so that we can become one of his children, which means God is our Heavenly Father. Some people have a problem with that because... And I mean to say it this way. Because their earthly father wasn't really a good father, and because he gave them a hard time, or hardly didn't give them any time at all, and was mean and cruel or whatever. Some people have a really difficult time. And because, you know, we understand about a father by relationship, right? So I feel sorry for anybody that had a bad relationship with their father, but I want to let you know that God, our Heavenly Father, is not like any father we've ever known. He's like a father that we have to get to know, because that's the reason the Bible says we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have to walk with Him. We have to talk with Him. We have to allow Him to be our Lord. You don't say Jesus Christ is my Lord and then you don't do what He says. He's either Lord of all, as somebody said, He's either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. And I've learned that He's Lord of all. And it took me a while to learn that. But when I did learn that, it lifted all of these burdens off of me. The burden, my financial burden, my relationship burden, my job burdens, or whatever you want to consider a burden in life. I was able to bring that to Him, because I was not able to take care of it, and I knew He was able to take care of it. And sometimes, let me tell you this, the Bible says, let patience, everybody say patience. You know what patience is? That's not a person in a hospital lying on a bed, a patient. That means to be patient. That means it may not come exactly when you think it should come. It may not happen exactly when we think it should happen, but that's let patience have its perfect work, because that is one of the ways we begin to understand and see and know and begin to know and have the knowledge of God. We understand, first of all, that He loves us. The second thing that He does, because He does love us, He cares about us and He cares about what happens to us. He knows where we are. He knows what we're going through with. And I've learned to pray this over the years. Didn't take me too long to learn to pray this. God, Father, I don't know why I'm going through this particular situation right now, but it's a bad situation. So whatever it is You're trying to teach me going through this situation, please let me learn it quick so I can get the heck out of here. Amen? That's not a bad prayer to pray if you find yourself in a bad situation. Amen? Now, God can help you, and I want you to know this. God can help you with your health. He can help you with your neighbors. He can help you with your children. He can help you with your husband and wife relationships. He can help you with your finances. I'll give you a scripture. For with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. Grasp that. And you may be going through one of those all things right now in your life. So cast your cares upon Him, because He cares for you, and then be patient. Be patient. Wait on the Lord. That's what trust is. Being patient. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ. So as we develop this relationship with Him, and as He begins to teach us and we grow in the grace and in our understanding of who He is and what He is and what He does and how He does it and when He does it and why He does it, that's growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We learn more then how to trust Him with the things, circumstances, and situations that are going on in our lives. And that's what He wants us to do. There's not a greater rest. There's not a greater peace. The Bible says God's peace passes all understanding. It may be that we're in a situation and we're at perfect peace, and we don't even understand why we're at perfect peace. We just know that we're there, and it's because God is with us, and we know He's in charge, and that He's going to take care of it in His time. Perfect peace. He says it's perfect peace because it's from Him. And it's the peace of God that passes all understanding. We don't understand it. We just grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Him and what He's doing and trust Him. And as we learn to trust Him, then we see Him do some miraculous things, not only in our own lives, but answered prayer is a miraculous thing. When I ask God for whatever this or whatever that, I need this bill paid or I need this to happen or whatever, and we see Him do it in your life. Prayer is breathing. When you receive a prayer and you know it's an answer, don't pray something just carelessly and then don't even, when it comes to pass, don't even just you take it for granted. Be thankful. Be thankful. Thank God. Thank Him. Thank you, Lord, for loving somebody like me. Thank you, Lord, for being my best friend. Thank you, Lord, for supplying my needs. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my children. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of them and protecting them and my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. Some I find difficult to love myself. Thank you for your love that shed abroad in my heart so I can love them with the love that you love me. Amen. All of this is growing in the knowledge of our relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I'll just finish with this. Just a simple scripture. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. And I'd wrote this down, James chapter 4, beginning with, and you might want to write this down, James chapter 4. Verse 6. But He giveth more grace, James chapter 5, verse 6. But He giveth more grace. Can somebody say amen? God gives more grace. When we think He's given up on us because we've done something wrong and He could never forgive me for this, understand this passage. He gives more grace. He gives more grace. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Verse 7, James 4. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So understand this. How do you resist the devil? Some people, I don't even know he exists. I'll tell you for sure, he exists. In fact, he's the biggest problem any of us ever will have. The enemy wants to destroy you. He wants to break us down. He wants to rob us of our faith. He wants to cheat us. He's a liar and a thief. And he'll do anything to keep us from enjoying a relationship with our Lord and our Savior and growing in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The enemy, draw near to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. I've got up in the middle of the night sometimes in my home and said, I read this years ago, and I don't even remember who it was, but I prayed, God, put a shelter, put a fence around my house. The enemy, I don't allow the enemy to come into my house. I don't allow him room in this place to give me a problem. I'm resisting him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I command him to get out of here. Amen? Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. He'll flee from you. He'll flee from you. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You say, well, how do I recognize him when he's putting fear in your life and doubt and trying to do this or that with your children and your wife or your family or whatever, finances or whatever? Say, I resist you, Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get your hands off of me. Get your hands off of that situation. Get your hands off of them. You cannot have them in the name and the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Resist him. And he'll flee from you. Draw nigh, verse 8, James 4. Draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God. And he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. I'm not going to go there. Verse 9. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of God and he shall lift you up. Amen? He'll lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. Be he that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law, but if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's only one lawgiver, he says in verse 12, who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Don't judge anybody. Trust the Lord. Don't even judge yourself, except when you ask God to show me what needs to be done here. Amen? Praise God. Let's stand.